Today is the 31st of May, 2018. It is the 17th of Sivan, Tavshanayin Ches, and we go to Meforshim Day of Perek Chaf Beis. So Perek Chaf Beis is divided up amongst prohibitions of eating kachim or messing up with kachim that becomes truma and stuff. Then it talks about the mumim of animals. Actually, it talks about additional prohibitions of a Kohen in terms of who he marries, and talks about the mumim. Then it has a couple of mitzvos at the end about what is ra'oi, what is fit for a korban, as well as the mitzvah of osov v'yaspinel. It concludes with, it seems, a mitzvah to do Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so that is, I think, the rundown of the parak. And here we go. So towards the beginning, it talks about not to be mechalel the truma. Actually, before we get there, so Pasuk Gimel says, well, Pasuk Beis is daver, right, speak to Bnei Aaron, Bnei Aaron, and stay away from Kachim Bnei Israel, and don't be mechalel my Kachim, which was mekadish to me, and more alihem, and tell them, l'dor v'sechem kol yishar yikra mechol zarachem el Kachim asher yikdush Bnei Israel Hashem. So who is the alihem? Who is that talking about? And more alihem, speak to them. Is it still speaking to Kohanim? So the Or HaChaim says, nope. Once it says alihem, elu ha'omdim lifnei har Sinai adkan. Those are the ones who are speaking where? And it, sorry, it quotes the Medrash of the Torah's Kohanim, that Amar alihem, me referring to those that stood at har Sinai. So which Jews stood at har Sinai? Everyone. So speak, that's this mitzvah, this injunction now is now given to the rest of the Jewish people. So the Or HaChaim continues, huk shalahem yasar amar alehem.
Did the first part of that sentence say to...
Well, the first one was, adaber al aron v'al banav v'yinazru mikatshe v'nei Yisrael. So the first one was, it seems like there was a special mitzvah to Kohanim. And now it's saying, amar alehem, speak to the Jewish people about not being mechalel truma. Okay. So... So the Or HaChaim continues on and says that this is that all the Jews are responsible for this, and therefore all those speaking Har Sinai b'chashi daber and stam. When Hashem says speak to them, so who's Hashem speaking about when He says speak to them? Hadavar muvan shaleim hu omer. Right, that we it's understood who it is. V'chvizeh harei onesh zeh zuhu gam liYisrael. So therefore, the punishment for this, somebody messes up the truma or eats truma that they're not supposed to, or is matami truma they're not supposed to. So that punishment is just as applicable to the Jewish people as it is to the Kohanim. So the Or HaChaim then says v'im tomer im kein lama b'chol Torah masir b'nei Yisrael. What does the pasuk normally say? By the Ber Hashem Eloshel Emor, Da Beral Bnei Yisrael. So why does it say always Bnei Yisrael? V'chol Pradu Prad, V'lo Hispik Lomar Da Beral Lehem. Why did it just say Da Beral Lehem? Why does it have to include Bnei Yisrael if the fallback is always that it's referring to Bnei Yisrael? So Kfar Amru. So it was already said in the Medrash in the beginning of Vayikra. Mashal L'misha Hayelo Ben Chaviv V'Tamid Zichrono B'Fiv. That a person who has a beloved child. And their name is constantly on their mouth. Achol b'ni, shasab b'ni, you should eat my son, you should drink my son. So obviously, you should just say eat, you could just say drink. Why does he add in my son? So that's like a special thing. He likes saying the son, either my son or the son's name, whichever one it is. So kamo kein, similar. Kodesh Baruch Hu, la'avas Yisrael, arif alav zichronim b'fiv. Therefore, Hashem, in order to demonstrate His love for the Jewish people, He had His name constantly on His mouth. And then he concludes with this odd statement of, and when you can darshan it, go ahead and darshan it. Well, wait a second. How can you say it's extra? How can you say that it's an extra word that's not supposed to be there if it's always supposed to be there? So he said, well, I don't know if we would ever.
The fallback could be when it says he said or say it, you don't say to them or to the children, you don't say anything. Then it's all the children of Israel.
Right. But it's not a problem. I mean, he's saying that Hashem says, Davar b'nei Yisrael, because Hashem loves the Jewish people, He likes to say the name. So sometimes you could darshan it out. Now, I don't know if he means lahalacha or not lahalacha, or why. I'm not sure what he's referring to. But you can't really darshan something if you could also just shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, but Hashem just, you know, the Torah. So I'm not sure what to do with that on a halachic level as we. Head through Daf Yomi, we will have to see if whether that Beral B'nai Yisrael ever get darshan l'halacha or not. Keep this Or HaChaim in mind when we come across that. So the parsha continues here. We'll head to Pasuk. Let the Pasuk Tesvav, the Pasuk 15. So what does it say there? V'lo yichalalu eskatshei b'nei Yisrael, eis esher yirma l'Hashem, you shouldn't be mechalalit. V'yisiyu osam avon hashma, you will bear upon the sin when you eat the kachim. Plus, I am Hashem who is mekadeshchem. What is this talking about? This is talking about somebody who eats kachim b'shkaga. That's what Pasuk Yudalit said. What do we call somebody who eats kachim b'shkaga? What do we call that a violation of? That's a violation of mi'ilah. Right? Mi'ilah means that he took kachim that he wasn't supposed to. We benefited from it. You have to pay back the kachim plus a fifth, which in our language might be a fourth. And you also bring a korban. And then, v'lo yichalu, and don't be mechalalit. So who is the pasuk talking to when it says don't be mechalalit? So Rashi says, l'hachilam l'zarim, in order to feed it to non-kohanim. So in fact, who is the pasuk then talking to?
Kohanim.
Right, Kohanim, that you're the ones that are responsible for safeguarding the truma. And what's the implication? That if a Jew... If a regular Yisrael eats truma, who's responsible? The Kohen, right? So that's so. What about the Jew? Is he responsible either? So and Rashi even continues in pasuk Tazayin. V'siu samis atzma mitanu avon b'chlam is kachehem shehudu l'shem truma v'kachu v'nesu alehem, that they will bear a sin on themselves. So who is bearing a sin on themselves? So the Ramban takes up this Rashi. It's asu sheitu avon b'achlam es hakachim shehuvdalu l'shem truma v'kachu v'nesru aleihem, that things have been prohibited for them. V'unkel shetargum v'chilton m'seo shelo l'tzorchem. Okay. V'lo hevi nosi data. I don't really understand what Rashi is referring to. Ki yira midvar. It sounds like from what he's saying, shezeh halav azhara b'kohanim hu, that this lav is a prohibition on kohanim. Who violates the prohibition of a non-kohen eating truma? The kohen. Because the Kohen didn't watch it properly. So the truth is, I'm not sure you have to read Rashi that way now that I'm reading it again. Rashi kind of says that the siu osam es atzman. So who's that atzman? So the Ramban is saying, yeah, it's still talking about the Kohen. Maybe not. Maybe it's talking about Yisrael. But anyways, the Ramban at least is reading Rashi as saying that the main violator of when a non-Kohen eats truma is the Kohen. So why did Rabbi Yishmael feel compelled to darshan it about the Kohanim? Not only that, but we don't see the lav anywhere in the Talmud. Rather, it's a prohibition of eating the truma, not of allowing it to be eaten. So the reason why we could have that is because it already had a prohibition mentioned above B'nai Yisrael. V'lo yichalu B'nai Yisrael katshi B'nai Yisrael sashay yirim l'ash, and that B'nai Yisrael shouldn't violate the truma. V'was har shenis bizar shalo yochal kodesh. And this is a second prohibition against the czar to not eat kodesh. B'avur shiyirtzu l'haskir bo ha'onesh v'mer v'siyu es atzman. So you want to mention the punishment as well. Remember, we pointed this out earlier. Still didn't have a great explanation why, but the Torah always needs to have a lav as well as a azhara. It needs to have the prohibition as well as the punishment that goes along with it. So that's what's going on here. Rabbi Senu darshu mifnei yaturu ba'ochel tevel. Amru Sanhedrin. Right, minayin la'ochel. This is talking about somebody who eats the tevel. The Rabbi Senu darshu, that there's an extra prohibition here mentioned. I'm not sure as well or in addition or besides that, which is ba'ochel tevel, eating tevel, meaning whenever you talk about food, produce, so there's two things, right? One is before it was tithed, before the truma and maaser was taken off, so you refer to that as tevel. And then, I don't think that it's kodesh at that point, it's just a prohibition of Israel eating it. And then after that point, it becomes kodesh, and then you would have a stronger prohibition after it actually became truma. So... So the Gemara quotes this pasuk, "Minayin ochel tevel shehu b'misa." How do we know that somebody who eats tevel is also chai misa v'dei shenayim? Shenemar v'lo yichalu es katshei b'nei yisrael sheyirim la'Hashem. Quotes this pasuk. Batidim litrum akasim v'dabra. Something that is going to have truma taken off in the future. V'yalev chil chil mitruma. Avav toras kohenim matzasi v'lo yichalu lahavi es hasaf v'es hashose. To include another din, to include the one who drinks it, the one who anoints with it and the one who drinks it. As kashi ben Yisrael, al kashi ben Yisrael chayvin kerem chomish, v'ein chayvin al kashi gayim kerem chomish. And that the kashi ben Yisrael you chayv a fifth, an additional fifth, but not if a non-Jew sanctified it. And he actually continues on. So, anyways, So the Ramban actually is learning out very like three different halachos that had a darshan out this pasuk, right? The one that's actually in our Gemara is the one saying that that also includes tevel. That's the one that's actually in the Gemara. But he also has other midrashim to learn out other things. Number one is there's an additional prohibition on kohanim of lifnei iver, that the kohanim have the extra special, okay, extra shirkir that not go to a Jew. And also there's a din of that not only is there a violation of eating, but there's also a violation of drinking and anointing with it. And then the Ramban says, but by the way, I don't think that that's actually a real din. I think that that's kind of an asmachta, that drinking is including in eating, and anointing is only a din derabanan. So that's an interesting thing. Really? Anointing with truma is only an issur derabanan? I didn't know that. I thought that that was also a din d'oraisa. But anyway, I thought that's actually talked about in the Gemara. But anyways, so the Ramban throws out a couple of things, which raises a question of darshaning out psukim lahalacha or not, and how do you take into account a medrash that darshans out a pasuk lahalacha? Right, so we normally, if you would ask most B'nai Yeshiva and say, hey, right, what drushes are available in Halacha? They say whatever's in the Gemara. Well, what about if it's in a Medrash? Are you allowed to, does that have ramifications al pi Halacha? And then there's two answers to that. Number one is, well, what?
Yes or no.
There is two potential, right. When would you say yes? When would you say, well, when would you say yes? When would you say no? When would you say maybe? So you would say yes. I think if there is a medrash that quotes a drasha that is just out there, right? Okay, that's an interesting halacha, and I think we would add that in. And there are the Beis Yosef certainly quotes midrashim lahalacha that aren't in the Talmud Bavli anywhere. When would you say no? I don't know, probably if the medrash itself rejects it. I don't know. I'm not sure I would say no. The maybe is, what about if you have a contradiction, like this Ramban is pointing out here? What about if you have the Talmud Bavli saying one thing, and you have the Talmud, and then you have the Medrash saying something else? So if the Medrash is saying something else that contradicts the Talmud Bavli, so I think we would say the Talmud Bavli would win out over the Medrash. But what about if it complements the Talmud Bavli, or it adds it on? Like here, it's sort of adding on. It's not a contradiction in terms, it's just a addition. So would that, how would we paskin on that l'halacha? So I don't know. The Ramban seems to quote it. The Ramban seems to do a little bit of work to try to fit them together, but he doesn't necessarily conclude that they could be fit together. So hey, it's an interesting l'halacha. How do you use that medrash?
Adding something to the halacha.
Yeah, we have that right. We do learn halachos out from midrashim. Right? A classic one was talked about in Beth HaMedrash over Shavuos. And it's famously quoted by Dr. Popovich. So the main source about committing suicide, the permissibility of committing suicide under various circumstances, is discussed in Medrash Bereishis. That Sholem Melech committed suicide and it was okay, and this is the reason that why it might have been okay. So it's a Medrash. It's not in the Gemara. So that Medrash is discussed lahalach. It's brought down lahalach, and the halachic discussions of it is certainly talked about. It's not really contradicted by the Gemara, or at most, it's complementary to the Gemara. So this raises questions about darshaning. About darshaning extra midrashim. All right. So what's next? So the parsha continues. Pasuk Yitzayim, Pasuk Yitches, that bear el Aaron ve'el Banav ve'el Kol Bnei Yisrael and speak to them. A person mina Ger Ger Yisrael sheyakriv karbonoluch and rechem luchem yisema sheyakriv v'lashem liola, things that are brought leola. And then goes on to discuss the various mumim that would be applicable, various blemishes that would be a problematic for a korban. So the Sforno here says, why is this here? So achar shadiber bekonim hamakrivim v'kedushasam diber b'tnai hanikravim. After it's finished talking about the kohanim and the tanayim and the rules guiding which kohanim can bring up and or how kohanim are supposed to act in order to bring the korbanos, now we will talk about those korbanos which are brought. The korbanos that are brought also have rules and regulations that are attached to them. And it says, "V'amar l'chol nidreim l'chol nidvosam she'afa pishehim korbanos adava." Even if it's a korban, that's a gift, right? What I think maybe a gift would be different. Was Hashem, if Hashem is making demands, you have to bring these various korbanos, a korban tamid like this. Hashem can make the demands. It has to be a pure tamid. It has to be non blemished, etc. But if I'm bringing it, and I'm bring it only because I want to. I don't even have to. So do the rules of blemishes apply? So the answer is yes. I might have thought otherwise, but the answer is yes.
With Cain and Abel, wasn't Cain
or... Yes. No, it was the other one. Well, Cain's was accepted. It was Hevel the one who brought the vegetables. Right?
But whatever it was, one of them was not accepted. Right,
but that was because it wasn't good.
They were voluntary, right?
It was voluntary. Oh, you're saying, shouldn't we have learned out from there?
Right,
but that anyways, first of all, I
this is the question of a moon.
No, this, well, this is. Yeah. Over there. I'm sorry. So Hevel was the shepherd, so you offered one of his sheep, and Cain was the one who worked the ground. So Cain offered, but Cain said to his offering, as every time Cain brought offerings to Hashem of the fruit of the ground, and for and Hevel brought the bikurim, the first of his flocks. Hashem turned to Hevel. Hashem liked what Hevel offered, and he didn't take Cain's. Which isn't Cain. I probably did realize it, but Cain is the first was the first korban. Cain offered a korban, and Hevel had a second, and Cain's wasn't accepted, and Hevel's was. I always think of the story in the other direction, but okay. But the Cain and so what?
It was a vegetable.
That's enough reason to reject it, right, Richard?
That doesn't address this.
No, it doesn't say that it was a mum issue. It just it said it wasn't accepted. So anyways, so I would have thought... So this, that's what I am suggesting, yes. Mm-hmm. And especially at that time, that was before there was a heter of meat for people, right? That came only at the end of Noah. So at that time, even when people were only eating vegetables, Hashem was still...
Eating meat.
Yes. So the action of shekol mashi nisnadiv afil ba'mum yiyu l'ratzon, that even when it's a nedava, even when it's a gift, it has to be l'ratzon. That has to be nice, desirous. Kivut shaloi yazesh shenasan chovala, even since he didn't have responsibility. Kivut shechashu k'sas Yisrael. V'hira ta'usam hanavi, and the navi demonstrates their mistake when he said, "This pasuk melachim chi tagishun iver lizvoach einra." That would the blind offer? Would you offer a blind? How does this translate again? V'chitagishun iver lizvoach ein ra. Oh, is it not? Is for if to offer a blind korban is not bad. V'chitagishu pesach v'chola ein lo, to offer a pesach and for the pesach to be sick isn't bad, right? Hikrivuhu. Wait, this word will continue. Hakrivu. Oh, there it is. Hakrivu na lifach. Hakrivu na lifachtecha. Bring it instead to your governor. What does it mean to your governor? The Hashem says, "What, you think I'm just going to take anything old that you have? Right? Try bring that to a Melech Basar Adam. Try bring that to a human king and see what he says. If he's not going to accept it, he's not going to like it. So why do you think that I would?" It's an interesting thing. Also interesting to keep in mind when people like kind of bring things to the shul and say, "Hey, maybe the shul could use this." Yeah, try bringing this. All right. Anyways, don't get me started. So let's continue on. So the another Sforno. So Sforno continues in Pasuk Chafta. So it gives the list of these various mumim. Then gets up to the violations of taking care of the possibilities of males breeding. These things. We'll save that a little bit more. I think I'd like to try that for Halacha Day tomorrow. But the Sforno makes a comment about that. Uma'och v'chasus, the crushed testicles of these animals. So that would then be considered a mum and not allow it to be offered on Mizbeach. So the Sforno comments. Yeah, achar shadiber b'mumim hamakriyim asher inyanim b'kadshim bilvad. After it lists off the mumim that happen, that just happen, and that happen specifically with kadshim, she'asur lahakri bali mumim lizbeach, and I'll bring those on lizbeach. Lahatal b'hen mum achar kadshim, to bring a mum after they were makdish. Diber al mumim milachusim she'asur lahatilam afil b'mehim askulim. It talks about mumim that people make. Active mumen that a person would cause to the animal that are prohibited even for a chulin animal, even for a non-kadosh animal, and that's this. One is not permitted to do this for an animal. Why is what is the svara behind that? I mean, other than the Torah itself said so. So we'll save that for tomorrow, especially nowadays when these things are relevant for pet owners.
Who's mothers an animal and he decides he really likes it, let's keep for himself, so he'll make a cut in the animal so it's moved, so he's exempted from bringing it.
Oh, well, that's not mentioned here.
What?
And that's not what it's saying.
These are all...
Chafdalid are all things having to do with the testicles of the animal. So you're not allowed to disrupt that. Pasuk Chafdalid, 24.
Right.
Don't do it in your lands. So what does it mean, don't do it in your lands? So Rashi says it's talking about neutering animals. What?
After mamashing an animal, the Baal could do that, so the animal would be disqualified.
Right, but that would...
You're not supposed to do that.
No, you're not supposed to do that, for sure, but you're not allowed to do that to any animal. The other animals, what about causing a mum to the other animals? What is the prohibition of that? So I don't know if that's meant. I don't know if it's an isser d'oraisa to cause a mum to an animal, in order so that it wouldn't be able to be brought as a korban. I don't know. It might be only an isser ase. It might be like a vishamru. You have to maintain the animal or something. I don't know. I don't know what.
I think that comes up in
the cool. It could be. It could be. I have here on the bottom of, in my Mikras Gedolos, Likutei Piuri HaMitzvah HaRambam, where he sort of takes any mitzvah here and gives you a couple things that are mentioned in the Sefer HaChinuch or in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, and that is not a mitzvah that is mentioned here. Mitzvah Chaf and Chaf Aleph is Kol Asher Bomum Lo Sakrivu. Don't bring something that has mum, and tamim yeh l'ratzon, and that there's a mitzvah aseh that every korban needs to be mufcharin, has to be choice, you know, the choicest animals. That there's a prohibition about causing a mum. I'm not sure what that is. Could very well be, but we haven't come across it yet. What else? Oh, uvar tzechem lo tasu. Actually, do a bal haturim. We don't usually do the bal haturim here. The bal haturim here says uvar tzechem lo tasu. He learns out. He tells you the samichle. How do we know that this actually applies outside? It says the samichle umiyad benichar. The very next pasuk after 24 is umiyad benichar lo sakrivu es lechem aleim mikolela. That from a non-Jew, one is not supposed to bring. Sort of karbanos from this either, meaning that if there is a mum on it. So the Baal HaTurim puts together, says, don't do it in this in your lands, umiyad benechar, and by the hands of a nechar, meaning don't have a non-Jew cause these challenges to a animal either. Meaning you're not allowed to have it to ask a non-Jew, right? Lomar sha'asru l'saris, afilu al-yidei goy. That one is prohibited to cause siris to animals even by way of a non-Jew. Now, what exactly is that prohibition? Is that a prohibition of specifically here? Right, the Gemara itself spells it out. It's a problem. So is that a problem here? Or is that a problem, or is it the regular issue of Lifnei Iver, or of Amir al-Akum? So the regular prohibition of asking a non-Jew to do things on your behalf. So that will save that for tomorrow. Okay, so one more piece here, and that is the end of the Perek. So the end of the Perek covers a couple of mitzvos in pretty rapid fashion that we're used to from the first 2 days laning of Sukkot and the second day of Pesach. Shuro chesavoyis ki v'leid, that has to be 7 days under the mother before it can be brought as a korban. Shuro seros sobeyes beno, you shouldn't kill an animal and its mother on the same day. When you offer a toda, it has to be for, you realize you don't have much time to eat it, you have to eat it that day, and keep my mitzvos and don't violate my name. Those are the ending mitzvos here. So the Sforno tries to work out what these have to do with each other. The Sforno says, Shro Chesev, Acher Shehizkir Kol Minei Hamumim Bekadshim Behirchik Osam Min HaMizbeach. After it lists all of the mumim and tells you how to separate them from the Mizbeach. Afal Pishe L'Pamim Yet Tamim Shove Sela V'Abal Mum Shove Shtayim L'Gadlu V'Shmano. Even though often the Tam is only worth a Sela, and the Baal Mum might be worth much more, right? The bigger the animal, the bigger the chance that there is a Mum, right? So the bigger animal costs more, but still, we would go for the pure, the tamim animal, the complete animal, rather than the one that has the mum. V'shalavim yeh mum nechshav aluy leminchas melech basar v'dam. And in fact, sometimes a mum might be considered advantageous to a Jewish king. Reading one of the prohibitions are unibrows, right? So maybe the king likes unibrows. And that was a mum for a kohen, not for the animal, but still. So bezek ki atzur tamim palo chifetz b'tmimus v'shlemus hanikra v'amakrav. Still, Hashem wants tamim. Hashem wants shlemus. That's what Hashem wants. Shenikra v'al shlemuso atabay v'amakrav al shlemuso alohay le'mosli yosuk if yafshar. Amar shekemo kein be'inyan gvul hazmanim shehigvil alav ein lahusu yemenu ein legro. Right. Also with regards to the time when it's supposed to be brought, one is not supposed to. One should wait for that time to come. Fine. And those are the listing of things that are then mentioned here. What then is the issue of the end of Chil Hashem? So Sforno says, what do you mean? Chil Hashem, that it should be Hashem's desire that it be done in this particular way. And if you don't do it in this particular way, so then you're being Mechal Hashem. That's what's being learned out from that last section. Now, the Ramban points out, and that this last section is actually where we learn the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the mitzvah of dying rather than violating certain prohibitions. That's what is mentioned here as well in the Kutubir Mitzvahs Rambam. This is the source for that. The idea that that many mitzvahs are Yehorig Va'al Yavor is sourced in this pasuk. So why that is here becomes unclear. What does that have to do with these other mitzvahs that are mentioned here? And that's what became mitzvos. Asish shinikayish shemo b'mitzvos liharig aleim below navor. That's what's mentioned here. V'zeh atam ha'otzis chamir. So Hashem took you out of Egypt, but he wanted people that were devoted to him, even devoted up to this point. But what this has to do with the rest of the section here is unclear. Meaning one could put the words together. The pshat of the pasuk makes sense that it would be in this context. Right? The pshat of the pasuk is Hashem decides how you're going to be Makadeshim, not you. So therefore, Hashem gives all these rules and regulations about how things are going to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, right? You don't get to make up your own. You don't say, well, Hashem, I'm sure Hashem would like this cat, right? It doesn't work that way. Hashem wants specific things, and Hashem wants them in specific ways. So by violating that, that would be a chilul Hashem. But the extension, the halachic extension that we learn out from the end of here towards the mitzvah of chilul Hashem and kiddush Hashem, the prohibition of chilul Hashem and the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, when it talks about a human life at stake, so how that fits in with the pshat of the psukim, I don't really have a great answer for. So, okay, I guess we'll stop here for the day.